Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 69 of the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast. We are your hosts.
Tony.
And I am Lou, and go ahead and get out all your jokes about this being episode 69. We'll wait. Where's the crickets chirping sound? The Pause.com Entertainment Podcast is sponsored this week by Scripties, a new screenwriting book by Kevin Stein that is very good, and you should check it out. If you're interested, go to Facebook and look up Scripties, like the word script. And the word tease put together, but with only one T in the middle.
So it's like script ease. Plus ease.
Right. So, you know, you could read it that way, too.
Oh, there you
easy,
go.
Easy way to learn how to write
like
a script.
Like PetSmart or PetSmart.
Exactly. Either way it works. And it's a really cool book. It's very informative and lays stuff out in very easy to understand ways with lots of really cool examples. And there's a lot of good humor thrown in there, too. So check it out. If you're interested in writing the next big movie, that's the book you want to read. That's what I'm saying. You're going to read it, aren't you?
I am going to read it. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. I have not been able to read all the way through it yet, but what I've read so far I think is really great.
I have a ton of like screenwriting books and have yet to like...
read any of them?
To write more than like a couple pages of anything. I have like outlines and stuff that...
When they come out with the screenwriting book that actually writes the movie for you.
Right.
Like you just talk into the microphone and say, okay, I would love to see a movie where like really cool stuff happens in space and it's like as good as Star Wars. And then it just starts printing. Right. That's what I want.
But then you accidentally forget to tell it that you mean the first three and not the last three.
And so
and
it's
then this big steamy
the
piece
ballad
of
Jar Jar.
Comes out.
You know what? I think George Lucas may have actually used that technology once before. I'm just saying. You got any shout outs or anything like that?
Well, we have some, no shout outs, but we have some mail.
Well, those are shout-outs. Shouting out to the people who wrote us letters.
Hello. Well, I guess it is.
Don't forget, by the way, that you can visit us on Facebook, where you can become a fan and leave us little comments if you do not wish to use the email, which seems to be what's going on right now.
Yeah.
People like leaving comments on Facebook. They don't like using the email so much.
That's okay, because I don't check the email.
Yeah,
but I check the Facebook.
Maybe that's why they don't use the email.
Well, then they've played right into my hands then, haven't they? Couple things. Gene has a couple things here.
And Gene, how you doing?
She saw a Showtime free preview of The Big C. She thought it was a very interesting dark comedy with the brilliant Laura Linney. It's where Laura Linney finds out she has cancer, and then I guess comedy ensues.
Wow. That doesn't really sound
I don't
like
really
those...
know that comedy ensues, but
yeah, those things don't sound like they go together.
Yeah.
When I say don't go together, I mean comedy ensues and Laura Linney.
Right. She also says that it's nice to see good mature actresses in The Kids Are All Right and that it was a good movie.
Really? I've heard that was good.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Yeah. Sorry for my delay there. I just got a delivery.
No one would have known.
Yeah, if I hadn't said anything.
Right.
I like to bring people in on my world.
That exciting world about you receiving a delivery.
Yes.
Jason Bellini says that, I'm using last names. Usually I just use initials.
Yeah.
But I guess you could just go on Facebook and see who wrote it anyway.
Is his name on there?
Yeah.
Yeah, well then I wouldn't worry about it.
He says, now that he's seen Inception, we are free to talk about it on the podcast.
That's good.
And aren't we glad that he gave us permission?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I'm sure all the other people who have not seen Inception yet
are really happy about that.
Yeah. So we might just wait a little longer.
I think we actually ruined the movie. Kelsey and I ruined the movie for poor Brendan in the other room the other day.
Yeah.
Because she came in and was talking about it, and for some reason I thought he had seen it, and so we started talking about it, and all of a sudden we get a, hey, thanks a lot, guys. Oops.
You know, Brendan needs to get out to the movies a little more, I think.
I agree. Anyway.
I do have some other stuff from Facebook, but that's going to come up in a discussion that we're having later.
Oh, really?
We have a planned discussion later in the movies section.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
About the status of summer movies.
That's right. Yeah, we need to talk about that. Is there anything else we need to go over? Opening show business?
I think
we
can move right on into
video
games.
All right, go ahead. What do you got?
I think it was just released today. I played the demo to Mafia 2.
Did you play it today?
The demo, yes.
Yeah. So you didn't have like a pre-secret version or anything?
No.
Okay.
No.
Is it one of those Facebook games?
No. It's kind of a Grand Theft Auto type game, and that's what I'll talk about in a second. But what's really weird, it's weird how Xbox is much better at putting their, you know, the new stuff on Xbox and Xbox Live and PSN go up on Tuesdays. But for some reason, Xbox puts them up like right away, like probably shortly after midnight.
Okay.
But PlayStation Network waits till like the middle of the day.
They're on the other side of the world. What do you expect?
Really? Is that the reason?
No, I don't think so.
And I totally bought into it. And aren't they ahead of us?
Yeah, they're ahead of us.
Anyway, for a split second, I'm like, that's a really good answer.
I'm sure that's not the answer.
But, so what? You know, I knew that it was being released today, so I went to PlayStation first because that's my console of choice.
It's and, probably just because Japan is such a lazy culture.
No, they're not.
That's two that you bought for a split second.
No,
right
I didn't
away.
Believe that one.
Okay.
But of course, it was on Xbox, so I tried it on Xbox. And I have to say, when it first started, I played the first Mafia on the original Xbox, and it was a total like Grand Theft Auto ripoff. But it was done like in the 30s.
Yeah.
And what's really annoying about it, I remember, is you're driving like these Model T.
So it was more like a Grand Theft ox cart.
Well, exactly. So you're driving these, what's really funny, you're driving these like Model T Fords and you have to get to the other side of the city.
Yeah.
And there's no like, there's no transporting. I mean, you have to like get in the car and just drive this slow ass car all the way to the
other. Only go like 30 miles an
right,
hour.
Exactly. Yeah. But you know, it was pretty good at like catching that time, you know, you
yeah.
felt like you were part of that time. This game totally captures. This one takes place in like the 50s, I'm guessing, by the music and just how everything looked.
Okay.
And I have to say, the cutscenes and just the whole atmosphere, they have nailed. It's
really?
So cool. And the cutscenes are really, I mean, the graphics are just so cool. And like between the music and the voice acting, like it's not cheesy at all. You kind of feel like you're watching a movie and then you're kind of playing it.
Yeah.
But it's still the Grand Theft Auto type open world game, but you really feel like just in the demo that you're a part of the story.
Right.
I really liked it a lot, and I'm looking forward to, it's coming out on the 27th.
Well, that's cool.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Is that a shooter kind of action game?
Yeah, well, it's like a third person action, just
yeah,
like
right.
Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah,
I mean, because I really thought like, oh, it's going to be another ripoff, but
yeah,
it's really
it's coming
cool.
into its own. Would you say?
Sure.
Okay. I'm just trying to put it in perspective for people.
I also played a downloadable game from Xbox called Limbo.
Okay.
It's kind of in the same vein as probably Braid, in that it's kind of a side-scrolling platformer, but it doesn't have all that quirky, gimmicky, you know, that stuff that Braid
had. Yeah, right. That
you thought was really
cool.
Yeah, you thought it was really cool for the first 5 minutes, and then it's the reason you hated the game.
Exactly. Right. Isn't that weird how that was pretty much universally the case?
Yeah.
Like, pretty much everyone thought it was brilliant until they got to, like, the fifth level, and they're like, this game sucks.
Because it is kind of like, what was the developer thinking?
Mm-hmm.
But this is just pretty much a straightforward, like, platformer, but just the whole atmosphere. It's done side-scrolling, and the whole thing takes place at night.
Okay.
So everything's very foggy, and your character is just, like, a shadowed silhouette. So you never even really, like, everything's just black and white and gray. So you never really see... You know, like if you're coming across like a boat or a crate or something,
right?
It's just like the shadow of it,
right? So for all you know, your character could be like a monkey in a costume. Is there some mystery
yes.
behind your character?
Not
could
that
be
I've
a
come
giant rabbit
so
in a costume, in a monkey costume wearing a human costume.
Yes. Yes.
It could be one of those really super strong ants wearing a rabbit costume. Wearing a monkey costume, wearing a human costume. The origin of your character is obviously the goal, finding out, is there really an ant inside there?
No, that's your goal of the game.
Sorry.
But I have to say, it's done really well, and it's not just an easy, like, you know, just get from point A to point B. I mean, you kind of have to figure out, like, for example, you have to figure out that once you've ridden the boat across the, you know, the little stream, that you have to pull the boat up on shore because you're going to use it to jump off of it to get onto something else. Like, you have to do a little figuring out, but it's nothing like Braid where, you know, you have to be inside the developer's head to know what exactly you're supposed to do.
And
so I highly recommend it.
Weren't you in that game actually inside? Were you inside the character's head at one point? Like literally inside? Or no, I guess it was like a little house, right?
Yes.
Where all the weird stuff happened. Yeah. Well, the house kind of looked like the guy's head. He had a square head.
Yeah.
With a roof. And a chimney.
I'm always, you know, whenever I'm trying to talk about something and you keep interrupting, I get so winded.
That's fine.
I'm finished.
You look like you have a lot of energy.
That's just been sapped.
Are you saying it's exhausting?
Yeah.
Wait. There's something else you have listed on here. You don't want to talk about that? Okay.
No. Well, I'll just mention it now that you brought it up. I did download and play a little of Monkey Island 2 on iPad.
Okay.
And it's not bad. It's pretty cool. It's the old LucasArts game.
Yeah.
But they completely redid the graphics, you know, so it didn't look so dated and so 8-bit.
Right.
But it's fun. But, it's one of those, again, was the developer thinking?
Yeah. Those games annoyed me.
So but just whatever. I enjoyed it for a short while.
Yeah. Until
I said...
Half an hour?
Probably about a half hour.
Yeah.
Until I said, okay, screw this.
Well, I actually tried a bunch of different things because I wanted to have something to talk about. So I went back and I tried Lord of the Rings Online. Did not like that at all. I mean, like 10 minutes into it, I was like, this is so dumb.
Why?
It's just like, it's everything. It's like, you know, the thing that we've talked about before and I'm sure we will talk about a lot again, where certain developers, especially for a particular genre of game, just seem to not get it. I think it's one of those things. Like, you know, the interface doesn't look that good. Everything that's going on screen looks a little bit messy. You know, it's a typical, I mean, it's Lord of the Rings, and it's a multiplayer online game. So you kind of, between World of Warcraft and Guild Wars and whatever else, you have an expectation about how certain things are going to be, at least at a basic level. And then you want to be surprised by everything else.
Right.
By the story, by the way that things happen, by the scenery and all that. And there just was nothing interesting. Like, nothing literally to hold my attention for past the first 10 minutes. And plus these games, some of these games, like, I mean, it looks okay. It's not terrible, but it just looks okay. And, the computer's like chugging trying to play this thing. Which is just, I can never understand that.
Did you just download a demo or?
Yeah, it actually, I got an update to some piece of software that I own,
uh-huh.
And it included a 10-day demo key.
Okay.
Or maybe that was the one that was free to play now. I can't remember. Like, some of these games are going free to play now,
right.
So I can't remember which was which, but.
So this one should definitely be one that goes free to play.
Yeah, or they pay me to play. That would be my option.
And even then. I don't want this job.
No. I quit.
I quit.
So then I tried
Speaking
another.
Speaking of, I don't want to get too far off.
Yeah.
But I'm going completely far off. Did you happen to see that story today in the news about the flight attendant?
You know, I saw that there was a story about a flight attendant.
Okay, there was a flight attendant on, I guess this was in New York, and the plane had landed, and he got into a scuffle with a passenger who had tried to get his luggage out before they were instructed to get the luggage out.
Okay.
So when he's going over trying to stop him, the guy's suitcase hit the flight attendant in the head.
Okay.
So the flight attendant went nuts and then quit and then grabbed a beer from the refreshment cart and then pulled the emergency chute and slid down.
Awesome. That's awesome.
So that's the way to quit a job, my friends.
There you go. I'll remember that for next time I'm working on an airplane. So I also tried another MMO, which was Fallen Earth. Remember we talked a bunch about that?
I don't.
And it's like a post-apocalyptic, like think, you know,
I Am Legend.
No. What was
Fallout?
Fallout, but like an MMO version of Fallout.
So we'll call it something close to Fallout.
Like Fallen Earth.
Yeah.
Same kind of shenanigans. Not very interesting. Yeah. I lasted a little bit longer in that one, maybe an hour or two before I got bored and gave up. I didn't like some of the fighting mechanics were really weird. It was definitely one thing, well, a little bit, but one thing that I will definitely say about it that was kind of interesting is that they seem to be trying to make it more of a Twitch game. Like, you know how most MMOs really are like turn-based,
right.
If you think about it. Well, this was more like, you know, pull out your weapon and start shooting kind of thing.
Right.
And it actually seemed to be a little bit successful in that respect, but there were certain things that I didn't like. Like, it seemed like you had to holster and unholster your weapons, which I didn't really dig. And then you walk differently when your weapon's out. You know, that whole thing where you're, like, walking like a weirdo. No, I don't like that.
Dead space.
Yeah, I don't like that kind of thing. So that one was a no for me. And then finally, on Steam, I downloaded a game called Razer 2 Hidden Skies, which was, like, a totally old-school, keyboard-controlled, like Xevious type of game.
Okay.
And let me just say, I am no longer good at those games at all. That game was so hard, even like the first level. I mean, I just haven't played a game like that in forever.
Right.
You had to control everything with the keyboard. You know, movement, firing, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And it wasn't totally obvious like what you were supposed to do with the power-ups or how to, you know how like in a lot of those games you get a power up and that replaces whatever power up you have.
Right.
Well, this one you could have a bunch of them and then cycle through them, but I could never find the keys to do right. that, and or else I would hit them by mistake instead of firing, and then I would be dead. One thing about it though that I did like was that you actually had a real shield. So if you got hit, you didn't just die.
Right.
You could get hit a bunch of times and then you would die after that. And a lot of the power-ups regenerated your shield. So that was actually pretty cool because it,
meant, it kept you alive longer because you are sucky
yeah,
at that game.
Exactly. Yeah. But it was not long enough, unfortunately.
So there was no perma-shield power-up.
There was no perma-shield. There was no god mode, unfortunately. Right. And I wouldn't have played one anyway because I think that's cheating. But and since there's no money involved, what's the point?
Right.
But yeah, so I actually played three new things.
Wow.
So there you go.
None of which you really are all that excited about.
Not really. Sorry.
Have you played any World of Warcraft?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Nothing.
I haven't played much games, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, I go in cycles.
Yeah, I hear you.
You want to move to miscellaneous? Or?
Sure.
Okay. First off, the latest issue of Game Informer features a preview of the Batman Arkham Asylum sequel, Arkham City, with a fantastic picture of Batman and Catwoman on the cover. And it kind of suggests that there's something romantic going on with it.
Really? Yeah,
it's a pretty cool cover, but I have not received the issue yet. So huh. I don't have much more than that.
Wow. Who plays Catwoman?
It's computer generated.
Ah.
Yeah. I don't know who does the voice, though.
Oh, okay.
I could probably find
out. Who did
the
voice of the Batman?
Oh, Kevin Conroy, I want to say.
Do we call him the Batman? Can we do that?
They do occasionally.
The Batman? Okay. Is it usually the uninformed who call him the Batman?
I do not know.
But he won't like walk into a room and say, I am the Batman.
No.
Okay, he doesn't do that.
Did he not say that in the Tim Burton original with Michael Keaton?
I don't think so.
I don't remember.
More on Michael Keaton later in the podcast, folks.
Yes. Speaking of Game Informer, this is interesting. The official GameStop magazine was one of the top 20 U.S. magazines in sales for the first half of this year.
Isn't
that interesting?
That is crazy.
Yeah. And what's funny about that is most of the other video game magazines have died already.
What I don't get about that is who buys that? Don't you get it free when you like sign up for their stuff?
I think that...
Maybe
no,
they're
well,
counting
Well, you've
got
to pay to...
Oh, maybe I mean, they count those.
Paying for them. I'm sure they're
yeah,
counting
those memberships.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I don't think you can just subscribe to it without...
Without... Being a member?
Right.
Okay. So they're probably counting. That's kind of cheating. It's kind of like when the car companies say, oh, we sold more cars than anyone. But, you know, 200,000 of those cars were to, you know, rental car companies
right.
and stuff.
Or when Prince goes on tour. This happened a few years ago. Prince went on tour and whoever bought a ticket got a copy of his new CD. So then his CD was like, you know, in the top
right.
10.
Right. Right. Automatically.
No.
Cheating.
Right. If you have recently given Microsoft feedback on the 360 through their Microsoft Kinect service, you could soon be receiving an invitation to take part in the Kinect beta.
Ooh, I get it. You know, can I say something about Microsoft Kinect? I was using one of my developer tools that they make recently,
uh-huh.
and there was a real disconnect in part of the program as far as like certain functionality that was in one part that was not in another part, but it should have been. Like, the two parts really should have been all one.
Right.
And so I went on to that Microsoft Kinect website, which is basically where you can go and leave feedback on any of their products that they have listed there.
Okay.
Which is not all of them, I will say. I got an email back from one of the head developers in that department saying, oh, that's a great idea. We'll make sure and put that on the list for the next release. It's like... How many companies do that, especially
right.
companies that size?
Not Apple.
Not at all Apple. I wasn't even going to go there.
Yeah, you were.
No, I wasn't.
Crystal Dynamics has revealed that there will be 5 packs of DLC for Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light within its first 3 months of release.
I'm glad you got that name right this time.
Yeah, I was sure to do that.
Well, now, how about DLC for the real Tomb Raider games? That's what I'd like.
Well, here's the issue people are having with this is... If you're going to have 5 packs of DLC within the first 3 months, why not just include
put
it in
the
game?
Exactly.
I mean, it looks like a way that they just want to make more money.
Well, are they going to charge for the DLC?
Yes.
Oh, boo, yes. Crystal Dynamics, boo, boo.
The November release of Little Big Planet 2 will see a collector's edition that includes a 7-inch plush Sackboy.
And a potato.
I have to say... As a 42-year-old male adult, that I'm strangely...
Yes, finger quotes were used.
Attracted to the 7-inch plush Sackboy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thought you were going somewhere else there for a minute. I was nervous.
No. Where would I go?
I don't want to know. I just don't know.
This is interesting. With the next Fallout game being set in Las Vegas, it only makes sense that Wayne Newton will be supplying one of the game's voices.
One of the game's four voices.
Really?
Well, no. I mean, you know how like their games always have like five or six voice actors right. that, you know, voice 300 different characters right. or 1,000 different characters.
Or Liam Neeson with four lines.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Was he in Fallout?
He was your father.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. What a waste.
Finally, Billy Mitchell has once again reclaimed...
Wait, you know what's funny about that? Okay, Liam Neeson was the voice of your father. Pretty major character.
Right.
Right? In Oblivion, before that they did, one of the voices was done by Linda Carter. You know, Wonder Woman.
Uh-huh.
Who is married to the guy who owns Bethesda's parent company, ZeniMax Media.
Okay.
Okay, so she's got two inroads. One, famous actress. Two, married to the guy who owns the joint. Her character was like a shopkeeper. How does your wife of Wonder Woman fame get relegated to a shopkeeper, but Liam Neeson is like the main character other than you?
Well, I would hardly compare as actors Linda Carter and Liam Neeson.
Did you see the Star Wars prequels?
Yes, but I also saw Schindler's List.
Linda Carter was in that?
No. Such a dork. Finally, Billy Mitchell has once again reclaimed his crowns for Donkey Kong and Donkey Kong Jr.
Oh, come on.
Do we smell a King of Kong sequel?
I don't really want to smell anything having to do
with Billy Mitchell
or anything that has Donkey or Kong in the name.
I saw a recent picture of Billy Mitchell.
Has he cleaned up at all or does
no,
it look exactly
it looks
the same?
Exactly the same. Skinny tie, long hair.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Still has the beard.
Billy Mitchell. You are...
He's actually just been inducted into the Video Game Hall of Fame.
Really?
Yeah.
And the...
It's his own Video Game Hall of Fame.
Oh, is it really?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, I was going to say. Oh, I can't even think of what I was going to say. No. What kind of haircut does he have again? Mullet. The Mullet Hall of Fame. I think he's actually like number two.
Yeah. Right behind Billy Ray.
Okay, number three. You're forgetting one. Isn't there, who's the chick, the singer who has the mullet? Isn't there some famous chick singer who has the mullet?
Who still has a mullet?
Yeah, or who used to. I can't remember
Winona
now.
Winona Judd?
No, I don't.
I believe she had a mullet for a while.
I believe that was Winona. Whatever. Don't they always say Winona?
Perhaps.
Yeah. They like to draw things out down there.
Yeah.
No, that's all I got for video games. You got anything else?
Nope.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about TV. Okay, we're back and it's time to talk about TV. Have you not seen anything?
Well, I've seen True Blood, but I don't want to ruin it for you.
No, we can't talk about that because I haven't seen it.
Sorry,
now,
listeners.
How many episodes have there been so far?
Oh, like...
Six, five, four?
More than six.
Really?
Seven, maybe?
I think we have six or seven taped.
Then there's like eight or nine. It's been a lot.
I don't know when we're
going
to catch up.
And there's a lot of stuff
going on. I keep looking for...
A lot of stuff
going
on. Excuse
me. I keep looking for marathons and stuff. And what?
In Bone Temp.
Bon Temp.
Bon Temp.
Yeah. I don't know what to tell you. I can leave if you want to talk about it.
No. It's really good, though.
Okay.
I like the season better than last season. Although I'm reading stuff online that people are like complaining that this is the worst season. I don't see that at all.
Well, what are their complaints about? Is it stuff that you can say without giving anything away to me?
Too many different kinds of
creatures.
Which,
well, because you got the vampires, you got the werewolves,
you got the shapeshifters,
and then you got Sam, you mean, right?
Right.
And then you
and
got the frogs.
Sam's family.
And then you got frogs.
Frogs.
Weren't there like frog lizard guys?
What are you talking about?
I thought they were these frog lizard guys who like lived in the swamp.
And it last season?
And who all they would eat is eggs.
What?
Oh, you know what? That was a show that my son was watching. Never mind. Sorry. I got confused.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but it's
good.
You
thought he was watching True Blood, which you highly condone.
Right, exactly.
Right. And then there's other stuff.
But really it was Dino Tales.
Or Fraggle Rock.
That's not still on. You want to talk about Top Chef?
Sure.
Okay.
That
now,
we've both seen.
Now, first of all, I was disappointed that they didn't bring up Alex stealing this.
I know.
The pea puree again.
I don't think they ever really proved that he did steal it.
Well, they didn't prove it, but if you looked at everything that they did show us, for instance, the night before, he still had no idea what he was going to make.
Yeah.
And he was in the middle of a conversation where they told him that what's his name, that Ed had made this pea puree that looked really good. And then the next day, all of a sudden, Ed's pea puree is missing and Alex has some and nobody saw him make it.
Right.
And that was the thing that made him win.
But I think in a court of law that it wouldn't.
This is television. This is a reality TV show. This is not a court of law.
All right.
Alex, guilty.
I'm sure it'll come up in the reunion.
I'm sure it will come up in the reunion. Yeah. And I loved how for 2 weeks in a row, those little phone-in things where you could text something to them were all about, do you think that Alex stole Ed's pea puree? And the next week is like, would you trust Alex on your team? It's like, no, nobody would trust him because he stole pea puree and he looks like Nosferatu. Come on. Nobody trusts the guy. And he's just weird. He's just like a weirdo.
Yeah.
You shouldn't put weirdos on TV.
No. Did you see the part where he fell? I loved that.
That was actually kind of funny. Yeah. And so then for the elimination challenge, they had to make 100 portions of some kind of something.
Well, it was a power lunch at the Palm.
Right.
Which the Palm has never opened their kitchen to anyone. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I mean, they made it sound like such a, which I guess for the Palm, it's a big deal, but.
Right. To anyone outside of that industry, most of this stuff means nothing. Let's be perfectly honest. Most
but as
of
someone
stuff,
who works in that industry, like I'm still not, you know,
impressed.
Big deal.
Yeah. And the other thing that I love too is whenever they, you know, when
the Palm opened their kitchen up so they could get free advertisement.
Yeah, exactly.
What a surprise.
Very selfless of them. What I love is when Padma will walk in with somebody and say, you know, I'm sure today's guest judge needs no introduction. But then even though they need no introduction, they cut to somebody who's doing a talking head introducing that person.
Right. And then you that know person, that they didn't really know
exactly.
who they were.
Exactly.
You know that they were saying, given a script.
You know, Chef So-and-so is like a visionary in this field, and he is largely responsible for making Italian cuisine good in D.C. What was the other thing? What's with D.C. having like more Ethiopian restaurants than any other kind of restaurant? What was that all about?
I don't know.
There was a lot of weird stuff on that episode. You know what was on that episode that was not weird, though? Padma Lakshmi. So the best part was Steven got eliminated.
Right.
And the funniest thing about Steven was that every single time they showed a talking head of him, he was like, you know, I've had a few missteps and a little bit of trouble along the way, but I think today I got a really good shot of bringing it home and winning the whole thing. Every single time he said the same thing. It was like that old, you know, cliched stereotype of the hockey player who gets interviewed on TV and say, oh, yeah, you know, I think we got a really good club and I think we could take it really far this year. It's like the same line every time. And he never did anything good. I mean, did he ever win anything?
Not
except
that I
like guy with the roundest head.
I remember.
Hey, plate face. So he's gone and nope, nobody cares. Just making sure.
About any of these people.
About any of these people, really. This is the most boring season.
It really is.
This is, I don't know, these shows need to stop taking their cues from American
Doesn't
Idol.
It look like Tom Colicchio has been maybe partying a little too much? Doesn't he look a lot paler and fatter and puffy?
I did not notice any of those.
Notice that.
I have usually been paying attention to Padma Lakshmi.
I think he's been hanging out with Vince Vaughn. Remember how Vince Vaughn, like in Swingers, was like kind of dapper and good looking?
I've never seen that.
And now, what? How are we doing a podcast together? That
whatever.
You've never seen
oh, whatever.
You have to see.
You want
that
me to
movie.
Make a list of all your stuff?
What stuff are we referring to?
We're gonna make a list.
I'm gonna need to check that list,
and then you'll know.
I'm gonna need to check that list. But you know how Vince Vaughn always looks like puffy and like he's been up for 4 days. And,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Colicchio is starting to look that way.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's the stress.
Of what?
I don't know.
Sitting on his mountain of money?
That could be stressful. What if he loses his balance?
Oh, my.
You know who did not look great, though? And you're probably going to say she never did. Was Gail looked like something was wrong with her this week.
Maybe she's pregnant. Did she just get married recently? No, I noticed that, too.
I think she got married 2 years ago.
Well, that's recently.
I don't know if she's pregnant. I don't know. You know who was recently pregnant? Padma Lakshmi.
Okay, let's move on to one of your little
okay,
picks here.
Also watched some more Supernatural, and we saw Todd's episode that he was in.
Oh,
finally.
Cool.
Really, really great episode. Because what was so cool about it was, you know, again, it was around Halloween of the year that it was actually on. And so it was kind of a, you know, a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek episode. The whole thing was shot in black and white. And he played a shapeshifter who was not inherently an evil guy. He had just spent his entire life being called a freak and a monster by people. And so finally he snapped. And at some point he was introduced to the Universal Monster movies and really like fell in love with them, and just the glamour and the sort of charm that those monsters brought with them.
Uh-huh.
And so even though he had now turned into a bad guy because he killed a few people, he did it in character as Dracula and as, you know, the Wolfman and as the Mummy and stuff like that. And since he was a shapeshifter, he could make himself look like all these people.
Right.
So when he was playing Dracula, he was actually playing Dracula as Bela Lugosi. So it was really kind of cool because there was a lot of really, really funny stuff in the episode, including a line that Dean kept saying over and over again, which was, "I've been rehymenated." And I won't go into what that means.
No.
But you can probably guess.
Yeah.
which is also funny on several levels. But anyway, Todd had a great monologue scene in there towards the end of the episode, and there were also some really funny parts. Like he was about to do something bad to somebody who he had locked up in his house, and the doorbell rings, and he goes, and it's a pizza delivery guy. And so he's like, "Is there garlic on that pizza?" And the guy's like, "Did you order garlic?" And he's like, "No." It's like, "Well, then there's no garlic on the pizza." He's like, "Can you just give me my $15.50 so I can get going? I got like four more deliveries." And he's like, "Yes, but they have a coupon." You know, he's doing it all as Dracula. Yeah. It was really funny. It was a great episode. It was kind of like, if for people who watched X-Files, there was an episode called Jose Chung's from Outer Space that I'm sure I've mentioned before that Charles Nelson Reilly was in. And it was a really great episode because a lot of the cliches about the show were dealt with, you know, without any veneer over them.
Right.
And it was sort of a classic episode because of that. And I feel like this was that episode for Supernatural in a sense. And it was really cool that he played the bad guy.
Yeah.
So it was really great. And then we got caught up on that miniseries Persons Unknown that you made a grievous error on.
Oh, the one that's been canceled?
Right. And you said it was canceled even though it's a miniseries and has not been canceled. I have to say, the last few episodes have gotten really good. I mean, the acting is still
pretty bad. It's probably because they knew that it was canceled and they had to really amp it up.
So they stepped it up because that makes no sense. But no, it's gotten really good and very, I don't know, a lot of twists and turns, and we're starting to see more stuff behind the scenes of the people who are running unknown. The whole operation and everything.
The
and
unknown people.
The unknown people, sure. Well, everyone's unknown because they don't know each other and they don't know the people behind the scenes pulling the strings.
Ah.
Yeah. Lots of shenanigans, though. Actually, a lot of fun now. But the lead girl, she's just not the greatest actress. It's gotten to the point
is
now.
Is there anyone of any notoriety or
the only like really famous person is Alan Rock.
Okay. So no.
So no, not really. And you know, you'd recognize some of the other people. There, you know, some character actors and stuff, but nobody like super famous. No. Which doesn't necessarily mean anything. I mean, think about Lost. None of those people were really
some of them. Matthew Fox.
Come on.
Party of Five?
Never even seen that.
Come on.
Party of Five.
Yeah.
With Lacey Chabert or whatever her name was. What was her name?
And Jennifer Love Hewitt and Scott Wolf.
Now, if you had said Jennifer Love Hewitt, then that would have been, okay, yeah, she's famous. Matthew Fox was not that well known before Lost.
Yeah, he kind of was.
No, he wasn't.
Who else?
But you know how like Terry O'Quinn was more famous as being a character actor? Like you'd recognize him, but you didn't really know who he was before that. You know, there's some guys like that where you recognize them, but you don't really know who they are.
Right.
You know? Which I'm sure they would love to hear.
Actually, in one of the, I think it was the pilot episode, I watched the commentary. I think this is where it came out, or maybe I read it online, that, you know, the role of Jack was originally supposed to go to Michael Keaton. Michael Keaton again.
There you go.
There's going to be three Michael Keatons.
In this here episode.
Which is just like that movie, Multiplicity.
There's four. And we mentioned Tim Burton Batman, that's five. Or was that the first one?
I think that was the first one.
Oops, never mind.
But Michael Keaton was supposed to play Jack, and he was going to die in the pilot.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know what happened.
They found someone apparently more likable that they decided they didn't need to kill off. I can't even imagine that show with Michael Keaton in the lead.
Well, it would have been a completely different show.
Yeah.
Especially since now we know the whole show revolved around Jack.
Right.
I want to mention, before I forget, that it's still on sale. The complete series of Battlestar Galactica on Blu-ray, the repackaged version, not the first version that came with the Cylon
head. The new
head.
Cool version.
Yeah, that actually has the specific seasons inside in their proper packaging.
Right.
Because apparently the first time they released it,
it's just all jumbled together, right?
Well, the discs were just like loose.
Who would do that?
Well, they did that with the HD DVD for the first season, too. They weren't like...
Were they at least like in a Tyvek sleeve or something?
No, they were no sleeve.
Well, wouldn't they get all scratched?
Yeah, well, that was the problem. People were ordering it, and then they get it, and it's scratched.
And the stupid Cylon head case is so dumb. What are you going to put that in?
Right,
what
exactly.
Are you going to proudly display that on top of your $4,000 TV?
Well, this has it's as if you bought all the single seasons and put them in this little
box.
Yeah.
See, that's a much better
idea. But I purchased this myself. I haven't started watching it yet. But it's only $135 right now on
Amazon.
That's
pretty cheap.
I don't know how long that's going to last. So
now, how far into it did you get before you stopped watching
just
it?
Just the miniseries and then maybe like the first four episodes.
Oh,
but you know what? To be honest, I think I'm going to start from the beginning again.
Yeah. Yeah, you probably should.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if you're not that far into it.
Right.
It's probably a good idea.
That's a good rainy day watch.
It's a good any day watch. It's a good show.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
There's a lot there, though.
Yes, there is.
Because it also has The Plan.
Which we still have not watched. We have that recorded, but we still haven't
watched
it. And
Razor, whatever that is.
Razor, yes, I remember that. Yeah.
And some, like, web stuff.
Actually, in Razor, there was a girl who was kind of the center of that story. Who then was also in the Sarah Connor Chronicles, who was awesome in both. Really, really good. But I don't know.
But
I haven't
seen
her in anything else.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just going to jump ahead then to my Battlestar Galactica news here in the miscellaneous.
All right.
Sci-Fi is developing an online prequel to Battlestar Galactica titled Blood and Chrome. The project will consist of 10 10-minute episodes that will focus on the life of William Adama during the First Cylon War.
How many Battlestar Galactica prequels are they going to do?
Right.
This is the second one. We still have never seen Caprica. We saw the pilot and we never saw anything else.
I liked the pilot.
It's all right. It's all right. It was a little too...
convoluted?
No, I don't think it was convoluted. I just thought,
the fact that it was all that little girl?
Yeah, I don't like it when a 13-year-old girl is smarter than anyone in an entire civilization. Because
right.
That has never happened.
That's the reason you hated Juno.
Yeah. I mean, in a sense, that's true.
I know.
In a sense, that's true.
I know. But. Okay, let's take some time to discuss the American Idol judge drama.
Let's. Does it involve Padma Lakshmi?
No, we're done with Padma.
Oh, I will never be done with Padma.
I know. Let's go back a little. So obviously, as we know, Simon has left. But one of the first stories that's come out recently was that Ellen had left.
Right.
Because she finally admitted that she was not in the right place.
Right. Although her official reason for leaving was that it just wasn't a good fit with her and her schedule.
Right.
But we all know
it wasn't a good fit for us and our schedule.
Us and our schedule of entertainment.
Show.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Then shortly after that, Nigel Lithgow came back
as producer.
Executive producer.
Right.
And then in some interviews, because he's very he's outspoken. In some interviews, he hinted that he was going to do away with all the judges.
Okay.
And in one interview, he referred to, and I think he tried to backtrack a little, and I don't know what his backtracking was, but he referred to Randy Jackson as a barnacle. Now, I think
that's totally unfair. I mean, if you look at the way Randy looks sometimes, it's like you can just barely see him off screen. You can see him like texting and doing other stuff.
I don't know if that was based anything on that. I think what he was trying to say, and I think this was his defense, is that, he's stuck on through everything.
Right.
He's the last one.
Did he come back and say that that's what he meant?
I don't know what his defense was, but it was kind of still a cloudy defense where you still didn't know if he was really ripping on him or not.
Okay.
So then there were rumors that he was going to do away with all the judges.
Right. And they haven't picked up Kara's contract.
They have not.
Right.
And then there were rumors that Jennifer Lopez was going to be a new judge.
Oh, God. Talk about incentive to make me not watch.
That would be entertaining, actually.
I don't know. I don't like her.
But then you heard that that's the reason that Kara was going to go, because Jennifer Lopez wanted to be the only female judge.
Okay.
Then there were little rumblings about Elton John, but Elton John wanted too much money.
Steven Tyler.
Well, I'm getting to the Steven Tyler. Sorry, then there were rumblings about Justin Timberlake, but I think, again, it was a money.
JT!
I think, again, it was a thing about money. And now Steven Tyler is the name that's being kicked around.
Right. Bandied about.
Yes.
As it were.
But I have to say, now with all this changing of the judges, it's really changing the whole mechanic of the show. And then Nigel Lithgow also hinted that maybe Paula would come back.
Right, but didn't they say that she wanted too much money too?
I don't know. Now that because he's hinted that the only person he wants to keep is Ryan, they have all this money now.
So Randy's not going to be there?
Well, it sounds like he doesn't want Randy.
Wow.
But he's always been a huge fan of Paula's, because when Paula got kicked off of Idol, he tried to get her on So You Think You Can Dance. In fact, for the first few episodes of that season, he had an empty chair with her name on it.
Aww.
And he's just like, Paula, please, we're begging you to come on. And she never did.
Huh.
Because she was high.
Couldn't find her way there.
Kidding. But so interesting. I mean, we still don't know what's happening. There's been no confirmation of anything.
Oh, we know what's happening. Idol down, X Factor up. That's what's happening.
Right. And apparently, in that same vein, it's been released that Simon Cowell offered Paula Abdul $4.5 million.
And she turned it down, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. She needs to get with the program.
She needs to stay off the drugs.
$4.5 million, a lot better than no dollars.
Well, especially for her to do that silly dance show she wants to do. You know, we have, you know, a couple dance shows that are working. A new one isn't going to, like,
blow anyone's doors off.
No. Not when you already have two that are successful.
Especially because wasn't it going to be called So You Think You Might Be Able to Dance? And then in parentheses, under the right circumstances.
With the stars.
No, that was under with the stars. I mean, that just seems like it's got disaster written all over it for a number of reasons.
So it'll be interesting. But what's really interesting about it is they're having all the auditions right now.
I know, the auditions
so
are going
judging?
On. Well, don't forget, the judges aren't there during those auditions.
Okay.
They're not there.
All right.
They're not there until the fall, basically.
Oh, okay.
So.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That is drama.
I'm
that is drama.
Just
you know, and when they first talked about Nigel Lithgow coming back on as executive producer, they also said that he might be replacing Simon. And I actually thought that'd be all right, because I think as we talked about this last time, I think as a judge, I think he's got a lot of character.
Yes, but I don't know that he has the credibility that Simon has, because his background is in dance.
Okay. Right.
So.
Well, then they need.
But
someone,
I agree with you.
They need
he's a good
like,
judge, and he's very straightforward.
Do we know anything about Trevor Horn? What's he like on camera?
I don't know.
Because he, he's like super producer.
Right.
And he's British.
And responsible for Seal's career.
And Frankie Goes to Hollywood and was in Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Pretty sure. That's
interesting.
Look it up, would you? Make sure I'm not wrong about that. Because I like to get my corrections out of the way on the same episode. So if I'm wrong about that, I don't want
to
wait till
I like mine to mill about.
Yeah. Well, you're hoping people are going to forget. That's what it is. But I'm pretty sure he was in Yes, or produced Yes, or something like that. But yeah, you know, he's somebody who I would trust his opinion. Of course, if it was up to me, I'd have it be Natalie Imbruglia, but I don't think she's going to be mean to anyone. And technically, she's not even really British anyway, so that kind of doesn't count.
He was in The Buggles.
I thought Natalie Imbruglia was Australian.
She is. She's half Australian, half Italian. The voice from the other room, which you probably could not hear.
He was in Yes, but it was after Yes
was big.
Yeah.
Okay. But I mean, still, he's
a big deal.
That's
huge.
He's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know what he's like, you know, personality wise. He might be too nice or too boring or.
And he produced Yes's comeback album, 90125.
Oh, that's a great album.
Yeah. Owner of a Lonely Heart.
I love that song. That's one of my favorite songs from that era.
Yeah. Then he went on to do a lot of stuff with a lot of people. Cher, Grace Jones, Seal, Tina Turner, Lisa Stansfield, Tom Jones, Paul McCartney, Pet Shop Boys, Simple Minds. The list goes on. All right. What are you doing?
That was the bass riff from Owner of a Lonely Heart.
Okay. Let's move on.
Yes.
Jane Badler, who played Diana in the original V miniseries, will appear as the alien queen in the second season of the remake, who is also Anna's mother.
Excellent news.
That's great news.
That is good. That's a good tie-in.
Yeah.
Now, what would be really funny is if we see Mark Singer at some point.
As a hobo.
That son of a bitch took my pants! You know that's from, right?
No.
That's from Terminator, the first Terminator.
Oh, right, right, right.
The guy in the alley. That's one of my favorite lines from any sci-fi movie ever. Whenever we see, I hate to say this, but whenever we see, like, as you put it, a hobo, one of us, me or Amy, always invariably says, "That son of a bitch took my pants."
Hey, that's a good segue. The producers of Chuck dropped a bombshell at Comic-Con this year when they announced that Linda Hamilton will play the title character's mother.
Oh, that's right. Look, we got another tie-in.
Look at all these tie-ins.
Oh, no, wait. That's Linda Hamilton, not Linda Carter. Never mind.
Yeah, but you were just talking about the Terminator.
Yeah, I know. I know. Sorry.
That's the segue.
I was confused. I was thinking Linda Carter still.
Okay.
So she's not.
Well, I'm glad you've gotten past the
Linda Carter will not be on Chuck?
Not so far.
Okay.
I wouldn't rule it out, though.
Season's not over.
Lou Ferrigno's going to be on Chuck. Did you read that?
No.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, man.
Sorry. Carol Burnett will play Sue Sylvester's mother in at least one episode of Glee during its second season.
We're having a lot of trouble getting into that. I don't know why. We keep trying to go back to it and watch it to get caught up, and we're having trouble.
I don't know what's
going on. I'm not talking like
it's
mechanical.
Fantastic
like,
show. I know.
It's just
a fantastic show.
I don't know.
Too much Warehouse 13 is my answer.
We haven't seen that much of that either.
Yeah.
Well, although we've seen more of that than we have Glee.
HBO has announced that next season will be Entourage's last.
Yeah, I've seen approximately 3 episodes of
that
show.
No tears shed here.
Yeah. I'm surprised you reported it.
It's news.
Okay.
That's what we do here, entertainment news.
Uh-huh.
And you're surprised to report of that. How about this? Bristol Palin's baby daddy, Levi Johnston, will be getting his own reality show where he will follow, which will follow his run for mayor of Wasilla, Alaska.
Okay. That's ridiculous.
I know.
And his name is Levi.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right, I got nothing after that. How can you follow that up?
That's why it's the last story.
We're going to have to take a break.
That's why
we're going to take
a
break.
Story.
When we come back, we're not going to talk about Bristol Palin or Levi Johnston.
Or Wasilla, Alaska.
Wasilla. Is it Wasilla or is it Wasilla?
Whatever.
I don't know. Anyway, we'll take a quick
Who'd
break.
Who'd ever want to go there?
I believe the Spanish would. when we take a quick break, we're going to talk about movies. Okay, we're back and it's time to talk about movies. And we both saw The Other Guys.
And have not discussed it
No,
at all.
Neither of us knew that the other one saw it.
Yeah.
But first, before we get into that, I also saw Salt.
You want to talk about that first?
And yeah, so let me talk about that first. I really enjoyed it. We both actually really liked it. You know, we both, Amy and I both like Angelina Jolie anyway.
Uh-huh.
But I would, you know, you never know what to expect with these kind of movies. And I hadn't actually really heard anything about it. It'd been out for a week by the time we saw it. And it was pretty good. It was really entertaining. It was a lot of fun. It was ridiculous, you know, over the top kind of action. Like even from what you can see in the previews, you know, there's the scene where she comes around the corner and she runs up on the wall and then kicks a guy or punches him or something. It's like, well, why don't you just punch him?
Right.
Why did you have to jump up on the wall first? What sense does that make? But you know, it's a story about a woman who is accused by you know, a supposed spy of being a Russian spy herself, even though she works for the CIA. And then it's all the shenanigans that ensue after that. But there were some very...
So it's the Bourne Identity with Angelina Jolie. Yes.
Some similarities, as some folks like to say. But but I would not say it was a direct... You could not make a direct comparison.
Okay.
Because he didn't...
Have boobs?
Well, for one thing... neither did she, really. I got to say, she was really thin in this.
As thin as she was in Wanted?
Yes.
Ugh.
Yeah.
She's like a skeleton in that movie.
Yeah. Yeah. The kids must be stealing all her food. That's the only thing I can think of. Because she's got like 100 of them.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, she looked really thin. I didn't think she looked great in terms of that.
Right.
You know, I would have liked to see a little bit of meat on the bone. A little bit more meat on the bone. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I like the way people say that, like it's a steak. You're just going to be sitting there gnawing. Well, that's a different issue. But anyway. So one disappointing bit of casting, Liv Schreiber. I mean, I know he's in the previews, not saying anything that nobody knows. You kind of have certain expectations going into a film that Liv Schreiber is in.
Like what?
That he's going to be somehow a jerk.
Yeah, he pretty much is a jerk in almost every
That's
movie.
What I'm saying. So it's a bad casting choice if you want people to be surprised by something.
Right.
So...
Well, you've just ruined the movie.
I haven't because you don't... you wouldn't guess probably what the deal is with him.
Right.
But it's just, I'm not saying in what context he's a jerk, but he is a jerk.
Okay.
And it's like, you can't put people like that into those movies, right, where it's supposed to be a surprise because everyone knows that person's
like
going to be bad.
Peter Sarsgaard.
Peter Sarsgaard, exactly. Or Stellan Skarsgård, yeah, his dad.
Right. That's Alexander Skarsgård's dad.
Oh, sorry. I still think that's so weird. I mean, the one dude is like a normal guy. The other dude is like a Viking. I mean, he looks like a Viking.
Right.
And that last name is very Viking-oriented. Yeah.
There's little...
Oh, there are accents and umlauts.
Yeah, there's little characters.
Tildes and accents aigu and accents grave. I don't think they're called that in the Norwegian languages.
No, but I like that.
Or whatever nationality those people are. Both good actors, though, I will say.
Yes.
Apple did not fall. I'm sorry, the... What?
Tangerine.
What do they grow over there? Do they grow any fruit?
Oh, I thought
there?
You were just trying to avoid saying anything about apple.
No. I was actually going to say acorn, not apple. I thought the saying was acorn.
No, it's apple.
No, it's acorn.
Apple doesn't fall far from the tree. It's apple.
It's not acorn?
No.
I think that saying was invented by people who had never seen the apple. Native Americans.
Can we move on to the other
sure,
guys?
Sure, that's fine. So, but yeah, Salt, I if you just want a good action movie, if you like Angelina Jolie, definitely worth checking out. It was a lot of fun.
Okay.
Not a great film. You know, not a, goes down in history as one of the great ones.
How would you compare it to The A-Team?
It was a more serious movie, uh-huh, but I enjoyed them both.
Equally?
I would say about the same. Well, one of the things that I thought was really cool in Salt, though, that The A-Team didn't have was the backstory of why all the action was happening in the movie was really cool. I mean, really cool. Like, such a great concept.
Uh-huh.
That to me really took that movie to another level. Because it's something that you could imagine actually happening. And it has pretty frightening implications. So, but I won't say more than that. So anyway. All right, so let's talk about the other guys, which we both saw, as
yes,
we mentioned before. What did you think?
Love and hate.
I, for the most part, loved it. I didn't really hate much of it.
Okay, here's my review. The first 45 minutes, excellent.
Okay.
Really funny. I mean, just, I was having, literally was thinking in my head, this is really a fun time at the movies.
Right.
Then it gets bogged down and tries to become this other movie.
I see, I didn't find that at all. I thought it lost.
Did you laugh in the last half hour? No.
Well,
it tried to become Lethal Weapon or Beverly Hills Cop.
Let's put it this way. I don't think so. There was one, I disagree. I know exactly what you're talking about. And there was definitely a section for, I'd say, about 20 minutes or so that was much less funny and much more plot oriented.
Right.
But then by the end of the movie again, we were laughing again.
Yeah, but at the very end.
Yeah, at the very end.
Yeah.
So there was a little donut hole of laughter missing from there. But
I think it was more than a little donut hole.
So you think it was a whole box of munchies?
Yeah, because by then they had lost me.
Really?
Yeah. I thought it was too long, first of all.
Yeah.
Because it got to a point when they just got bogged down with this whole story. Which, by the way, the story to me, I mean, I won't give any of the story away because I know Brendan hasn't seen it. I'm
sure
there's people out there who haven't seen it. But the story just, I didn't think the stakes were that high. I mean, yes, they were, but I just didn't think...
I know exactly what you're saying. Like, you didn't really care. It was just an excuse.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then the reveal at the end was stupid. What the bad guy was really up to.
Well, that's what I thought you were talking about.
The whole thing.
Okay. I thought you were talking about the reveal at the end.
No.
I mean, because that was not a weighty enough reveal.
No. But I didn't think the whole thing, I thought, was like, I just thought the cops' mission was a little too, they were a little too gung-ho about this thing that, like...
Well, I guess in defense of that, from their point of view, if you look at it sort of like you would watch a Law & Order series where everything is from the point of view of the good guys and you don't really see what's going on from the point of view of the bad guys,
uh-huh,
from that point of view, you can kind of see how they would have been motivated because they knew that something bad was going on. They just didn't know what it was.
Okay.
And it's their job to detect that out.
Right.
But I know what you're saying, but man, I'll tell you, the parts of that movie were funny or funnier than anything I've seen in years, I think. I mean, I laughed more in that movie than I have in any other movie in a long time. It was really
funny.
Yeah,
there were some really funny parts. I won't make that statement, but it was really funny.
It was
the first 45 minutes were great.
Yeah. There was so much stuff in the movie that was hilarious. You know, and even things like in the preview, they gave away that sequence where they go to Will Ferrell's character's house and Marky Mark's character is like, no, seriously, you're going to tell me who that is about his wife? But that played out even more, and it kept going through the movie, but it was still funny. It was like every time they came back to it, it was still really funny.
I have to say, I think this is going to, between this and Date Night, I think we're going to see a resurgence of, well, he never really went away.
Adult comedies?
No, Marky Mark doing comedy. Because we've never really seen a new comedy until these two.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, in both these movies, I mean, he plays a straight guy in both of them.
He was really good.
But he was really good.
He was really good. It was really
good. Could you kind of see him doing like a Midnight Run and him being the straight guy in that?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. And still, without question, my favorite Robert De Niro comedy. Because that type of character works so well. When you put the right actor in it, that type of character is just great. But yeah, I mean, and let's talk about Michael Keaton. Fantastic in this movie. So, I mean, so perfectly cast.
And without giving this away, because it's just funny and it's first, but the little thing that he keeps doing through the movie, hysterical.
That was really funny. And I also like just some of his asides, like when he gives him back the gun the first time and the things that he says when he gives him back the gun. Like some of that stuff was just so funny.
Yeah. There were a lot of cameos in there.
There were a ton of cameos.
Yeah. Which like was cool.
That whole sequence when... Shoot, I'm trying to figure out how to say it. Okay, when they go to talk to the British guy, and they keep coming back and going back to his office, that was so funny. Yeah. And they're like, he did it again.
Yeah,
I mean that was really good. We'll have to talk about it more offline because there's a lot of stuff that I want to talk about. But there was a ton of quotable dialogue in that.
Definitely,
movie. It was really.
Oh,
funny.
I'm not taking away the fact that it was funny. I just think there's this middle chunk where then they like wanted to switch it to an action film. And like it just took me out. It took me out of the fun mood I was having.
No, I understand what you're saying. It didn't ruin it for me though. Like that didn't bother me at all. I still came out of that movie really having enjoyed, you know, a good fun time at the movies.
Right. I still recommend
it. And there's that whole segment of the movie kind of starts with a line that Michael Keaton says to them. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Okay, we'll talk about it later. But I actually really like that line, and I really like that they put that line in there. But anyway,
ruin the movie if you say the line?
Yeah. Okay. I think so. So those are the only movies we saw. So
yeah, I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I do too. All right, let's go into miscellaneous.
Well, let's have our summer movie discussion.
Okay.
We've both, along with...
Wait, before we start this, did you see the new trailer for Tron?
Yes.
Man, it looks so good,
very
doesn't
cool.
it?
Very cool. Yeah.
I mean, now I'm really, really
very
excited.
Very cool.
And, I mean, how cool is it? Now, I'm not giving anything away because it's in the trailer.
Right.
How cool is it when you see that shot of his kid as a kid, and then Jeff Bridges turns around, and he's like young Jeff Bridges? Because that's not him.
Right.
They made, because we talked about this before, right? How they made a digital version of Jeff Bridges, who is one of the main characters in the movie. I mean, yeah, we're seeing it on a little tiny screen. It looked so cool. I mean, in that first shot of him, that really looked like him.
It was
when
amazing.
You see him later in the trailer, you can kind of tell that it's not really him.
Right.
But that first shot of him, I was like, that is one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in a movie.
Yeah.
It was so cool.
Yeah, let's see how that plays out.
Yeah, I know. But man, I am really looking forward to this movie now because that trailer just looked amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
So cool. All right, so anyway.
So you and I were discussing, and it's been written about in a lot of entertainment magazines, that this is the worst...
Before or after you and I started discussing it? Because if they stole our idea...
No, around the same time.
A little cha-ching.
This is the worst summer for movies.
Yeah. I mean, almost every summer, there's at least one...
At least one. There's usually a couple.
At least one blockbuster movie that you know about going into the summer, and then at least one that's kind of a surprise. Like last year, there was District 9. You know what I mean? You always have those kind of movies.
But even the ones, like the big ones that you're waiting for, they usually pay off.
Right, like the Spider-Man or the X-Men
or
Star Trek
or
whatever.
The Dark Knight.
Yeah, exactly. There's been nothing this
nothing.
Summer. You
nothing.
Can't count Inception because it was too heady of a film and really not that kind of
But
movie.
I mean, right now, I think it's the biggest grossing movie of the summer.
Oh, is it?
I believe so.
You can't count Toy Story 3 because that's a kid's movie and that's kind of a whole different animal.
Right.
But there's been nothing.
Well, I actually asked on our Facebook page, you know, just as
right
argument for this, I asked people what their favorite movie of the summer was, and Jason, Kim, and Amy all said Toy Story 3, which
okay.
was, you know, like you said, it's, right. it's a kid's movie. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to really count that. And then Gene said Inception.
Okay.
So really, I mean, like,
right.
I put that up there just to show that everyone was going to give the same answer.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's really there's nothing to choose from. Yeah. That's the whole thing. Now we talked about this a little bit. Wasn't the next Harry Potter originally supposed to come out this summer?
I believe so.
And was it always going to be two movies? Because you know it's going to be two movies now.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. There's parts one and part two. So part one.
I guess I did know that because apparently that book is like
it's 600 pages. It's 4,600 pages, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, the other night I just was flipping on and The Dark Knight was starting on cable. And so I'm just like, oh, I love the opening scene. Let me just start watching it. I sat and watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
That was just as entertaining the other night as it was when I saw it in the theater.
You know, I have
that
to say.
That is such a great movie.
I was not a fan of the opening of that film.
What?
That whole opening scene with the fake Batman and everything. No, that part. I'm talking about in the parking garage. Like, I didn't like all that stuff in the parking garage.
With the
scarecrow guy. Yeah. And all that. I'm like, why is this scene
that's
even
not
in
the
movie?
Of the movie?
I know. The part in the bank, though, that was great.
Yeah. But I'm saying, that's a movie. I mean, that's a movie that we anticipated and like we went and saw it. It paid off. And still, I mean, like I said, I watched it again and I got just as much entertainment out of it as I did. Well, probably not as much as the first time because you're being surprised.
Is that last year or 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
Okay. So last year was Star Trek and District 9.
Right.
Was there another superhero movie last year?
Well,
there was. Wolverine. Yeah, that was terrible. Again, Liv Schreiber.
Kiss of death.
You can't do it. Doesn't work. But yeah.
I mean, there's tons of stuff coming out next summer, but what happened to this summer?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's very strange. It seems like it's just a bad timing thing. Because again, the Harry Potter thing.
Do you think the economy has something to do with it?
No. I think it's more a dearth of good ideas. Yeah. I mean, everything is so sequel, prequel, or franchise oriented now.
Right.
That it's like, I'm surprised Inception, I'm not surprised Inception got made because it's Christopher Nolan.
Right.
But like Salt, I'm surprised there was even an original film out this summer, really.
Right. Looking forward, I think what we're going to suffer from is superhero fatigue.
Yeah.
Look at what we have coming out next summer. There's Thor, Captain America, Green Lantern.
Green Hornet.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to be good.
But it's coming out next year,
yeah,
right?
But... Does it look good to you?
It looks.
You know,
too...
I like Seth Rogen, but I don't think he was a good choice for that.
I don't like Seth Rogen, and I don't think he was a good choice for that.
Yeah.
Because he's just like the loser who's hanging around in Kato's car.
Right.
And
I
Kato,
mean, it becomes a Seth Rogen movie, like a
right.
Seth Rogen like
and Kato
loser
is so stoic and serious,
right.
And Seth Rogen is like, oh,
a
cool
clown.
Man,
yeah. So I wonder if something's going to come out the rest of this. I mean, I don't even know what's set to come out the rest of the summer.
I don't know.
I mean, usually
be,
in the summer, you know the big dates that things are coming out.
There can't be anything that big coming out for the rest of the summer, can there? Summer's almost over. Only got another couple weeks to really consider it summer.
Let's see. Well, you have the Expendables. Which actually, I saw Sylvester Stallone was on some talk show this morning, and they brought a clip. It looked really good. It looked really entertaining.
I definitely think it'll be entertaining.
That's really well. There's The American on September 1st. That looks good.
What's that again?
George Clooney, kind of like a spy.
Yeah. It's George Clooney though.
That's not a bad thing.
It is for me.
Really?
Yeah, he does absolutely nothing for me. He's
oh, my God.
Exactly the same in every movie. I mean, except goofy films. He's exactly the same in, like, every normal movie that he's in. And his exactly the same is not interesting.
He rarely does a bad
me.
Movie.
I totally disagree. Come on. Are you telling me that you thought the Ocean's 11, Ocean's whatever movies were great movies?
I don't
movies?
Count those because those were just indulgent pieces.
He was in them. You just
the
said
first
he
one wasn't bad.
They were all pretty bad.
The first one wasn't bad.
I mean, they were okay, but they were not good films.
Okay, I'm going to George Clooney's IMDb page.
Yes, let's talk through these.
Let's.
A lot of them I will not have seen because I just don't really care for them. But
right. Well,
I'm surprised you didn't go see Eat, Pray, Love.
It comes out this week, and
no,
I'm not going
sorry.
To see that. Up in the Air, awesome.
Haven't seen that yet.
Loved that movie. Burn After Reading, I really liked.
Haven't seen that movie.
It got kind of mixed reviews. Michael Clayton was awesome.
Okay, Michael Clayton was not awesome.
Oh, that was great.
Michael Clayton was not awesome. That movie was a lot of brooding for nothing.
I disagree.
There was like no... Talk about a movie where the stakes are not high. What were the stakes in that film? Tell me, what were the stakes in that film?
Justice. Justice were the stakes.
No. That is not... first of all, that's not even accurate. That has nothing to do with that movie.
That's not even proper grammar.
No, I mean, that has nothing to do with that film. What were the stakes in that movie?
I don't remember the story very well, but it was good. I remember I liked it.
It was whatever.
Syriana I never saw.
That was all right.
I don't know. I'm never disappointed by Clooney.
Well,
there you go. That's all we got coming up the rest of the summer.
Agree to disagree.
ready for miscellaneous?
Yes.
Okay, starting September 1st, Netflix will start streaming Paramount, Lionsgate, and MGM movies.
Wow.
No, that's a big thing.
That is a big thing. I thought they were still
negotiating. You were yawning while you said,
well,
wow.
I was already
so yawning. Little,
yeah. I was already yawning. I thought they were still negotiating those.
Apparently negotiations ended today. This is hot off the presses.
Fresh
right
news?
Yeah. Underworld director Len Wiseman has signed on to direct a new contemporized adaptation of Total Recall.
Your favorite.
What's my favorite?
Didn't you say you hated Total Recall?
I don't believe I said I hated it.
Brendan, what do you think?
It wasn't hate.
I'm pretty sure you said you hated it. And then you said it was garbage.
I believe you're thinking of RoboCop.
I'm thinking of Predator also.
Oh. Or Predator.
I don't know.
I
like Total Recall. That was a good movie.
An American Werewolf in London is also being remade.
By him?
No.
Oh.
I'm just saying there's another.
Right.
We've got nothing new.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if that movie needs to be remade.
I don't really remember it.
That was the one with, who was the lead in that? What was his name?
David Naughton.
David Naughton. Man,
I'm
he
a
was
pepper,
a,
you're a pepper.
Yeah, he was a big deal for a while. Remember that?
And then
nothing.
Yeah.
Did you say making it?
Yeah.
Nonstop? Making it
to the top.
Wait, was that a movie or a TV show?
TV show. Where he like owned a disco or something.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember the theme song, but I don't remember the show at all.
Quentin Tarantino is in talks to direct an updated version of The Shadow.
Seriously, making it? Somebody thought it was a good idea to make a TV show called Making It.
Well, they were cashing in on the whole disco thing.
Saturday Night Fever.
I don't think it even lasted a season.
Man.
It's hard for me to think back that far.
Do you remember a TV show called Auto Man?
No.
What about She's Got It Made or We've Got It Made?
No.
With Terry Copley as the hot blonde housekeeper?
Yes.
Remember that one?
With the one guy with the curly hair?
Yep.
Yeah.
You had the guy who kind of talked like this. You remember that guy?
Yeah. He was hot for like a quick minute. He was in like all these movies and then like disappeared.
Yeah. Oh, well, there were two of those guys. There was the dumb guy, and then there was the guy who was, like, the good-looking one.
Right. Wasn't he the guy from Electric Dreams?
No, that was Lenny Van Dolan.
Oh.
From Electric Dreams. Electric Dreams, which still is not even out on DVD. What is up with that?
You're the only person upset about that.
I don't think that's true. I bet you if you went on Amazon.com right now, you'd find a bunch of people who are upset about that. In fact, you can do that. Go on Amazon. Look it up. I'm telling you.
How am I going to find
just look up Electric Dreams.
All right.
And or maybe not on Amazon, but we'll see if it's on Amazon and then check IMDb because I know there are tons of people who would love for that movie to be released. That was a great 80s film. And it would be so cool to see it now because there are so many really crazy things having to do with computers in that movie because it was really when the personal computer was just starting to take off.
It's funny that it is currently unavailable and has never been released, but it has 218 reviews. 189 of them, 5 stars.
See?
Come on.
See? This is what I'm saying. And what are the comments?
This is an absolutely delightful comedy that never found an audience and was years ahead of its time.
See?
Come on.
That's what I'm saying.
It's ridiculous.
That's what I'm saying. It was
hilarious. It cries
out
for release on DVD.
That's what I'm saying.
This is your classic love triangle romantic comedy.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
I'm telling you, it was a
If anyone has seen this movie, please post something on the Facebook page.
I'm telling you, it was really, really fun.
It was not.
Especially for the time. And it had, what's her name in it?
Virginia Madsen.
Virginia Madsen. You can't go wrong with her. It had a talking...
Oh, you're right. She's always stellar.
It had a talking computer who was in love with Virginia Madsen. You can't go wrong with that. Had Lenny Van Dolan, who was only in like one other movie, I think.
I'm moving on.
Okay.
And actually, I've already said this, but I'm going to say it again because you weren't even listening. Quentin Tarantino is in talks to direct an updated version of The Shadow.
Okay.
What is that? Some radio
play?
Well,
only The Shadow knows.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Don't you remember that?
Right.
And who is a female lead in that?
Elizabeth Shue? No, that's the Saint.
Elizabeth Shue? No. Catherine Zeta-Jones?
Oh, now I'm anxious to know.
Was it Catherine Zeta-Jones? Do you remember, Brendan?
I feel like that was before her time.
Really?
Yeah, I would say so, too.
It was like 94, 95.
Hmm. I can't remember. It was somebody...
Penelope Ann Miller.
What?
Yep.
Who'd cast her in anything?
It was 94, by the way. Good job, Brendan.
Well, so when did Zorro come out?
Later.
When? Look it up. You're right there. Just look it up.
I know, but no one cares.
I care. I
want to
know.
I'm about.
Trying to figure out my actress timeline, if you don't mind. Okay? I need to know.
I apologize to 2005.
Really?
Yeah.
No, Zorro did not come out 5 years ago. Are you insane?
Yes, it did.
With Catherine Zeta-Jones. That did not come out 5 years ago.
The Legend of Zorro was 2005. The Mask of Zorro was 1998.
Okay, 98. So 4 years after that, yeah, before her time.
You would think The Legend of Zorro would have been the first one.
I don't know. No, well, not really, because...
Well, I didn't know there was 7 years between the first and the second one.
Something has to happen before that you can be a legend.
Ah, you need the mask.
You need a mask, right? Because otherwise you're just a guy. Who's going to write a legend about a guy? That's just dumb. You know, that was a good movie. That was one of those movies that kind of came out of nowhere. Like, they didn't really promote it. All of a sudden, this Zorro movie was out with some chick you never heard of. And Antonio Banderas. Nobody really took him seriously at the time. You know what I mean?
You are only speaking for yourself.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying. Because I don't think Evita had been out yet.
No.
And that's really the thing that made people take him really seriously, other than other than Zorro, is what I'm saying.
To the general U.S. movie-watching crowd, too, but he was a huge film.
I'm talking about the general U.S. movie-watching crowd.
Oh, I'm not. I'm talking about movie fans, people who actually know something about movies.
Okay.
He was a huge star in Spain before any of his American movies.
And you think most people in this country would have known that?
Anyone who knows anything about film, yes.
No, anything who knows anything about foreign film. It's not the same thing.
He's in all the early Almodovar films.
Yeah, but that
anyone who appreciates film knows those films.
That's not true. I appreciate film, and I don't know those films.
You appreciate crappy film like RoboCop and Total Recall.
Hey, those are excellent movies. Those are excellent movies.
Oh my God, I can't have this. I have a migraine right now.
Both Paul Verhoeven movies, by the way.
Stellan Skarsgård. Robin Wright and Daniel Craig have been cast in David Fincher's adaptation of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Yeah, there's a hubbub about that right now, huh?
About The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo?
Yeah.
What's the hubbub?
It's just that everyone likes it. Isn't that kind of the definition of hubbub?
I have to assure you, folks, we have not been drinking.
No, but isn't that kind of the definition of hubbub? Everyone's talking about it?
I think hubbub is more of a controversy, isn't it?
Is it? I don't know.
Brendan?
No, it's just general...
General chit-chat. General chatter.
Okay.
No.
Lastly.
Yeah.
On the eve of the Expendables release, there is already talk of a sequel. Producers are saying they already have a new dream list of action stars they plan to approach.
What's this one called? The Recyclables?
One of the ideas was the Expendable Expendables. So
Van Damme.
Probably. Yeah.
Who
Seagal,
else?
I'm sure.
Seagal. Who else? Who's
Jackie
that?
Chan.
What? Jackie Chan, come on. Jackie Chan?
Oh, that's right. You only see American movies.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me you're going to put Jackie Chan and Jean-Claude Van Damme in the same category? Jackie Chan has been in way better movies than Jean-Claude Van Damme.
They're both action stars.
Yeah, but Jackie Chan, again, has a huge history of films dating back long time.
It's action stars.
Right, but you're saying the Expendables. As I was saying, like, the B-lister Expendables.
Oh, I was just saying who would be in this movie.
Oh, you're just thinking of new people in general.
Right.
Mario Van Peebles. Exactly. Doesn't he have a laser beam eye? Or didn't he in one of his movies?
Did he?
Right? He had a laser eye or something. He might in real life. I don't know. I don't want to take anything away from the man.
No, I'm just saying they have a list of...
Yeah. I know what you're saying. And whatever happened to... Whatever happened to the guy who was in... Now, this was on TV at someone's house that I was at the other day, so don't ask me where this came from. Who was the guy who was the lead in Grease 2? What was his name? You remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Maxwell Caulfield. Caulfield.
So sad that you know that.
Well, I just said it was just on. Wasn't he in something recently? I don't think he was, because I think I looked him up and I couldn't find anything. But he is one of those.
It's so sad that you know that, and then you went and looked
him up. Well,
because
I was trying to figure out what I had seen him in, because I felt like I had seen him in something recently. But I don't think he's been in anything.
He was in Nightmare City 2035.
Didn't see that. No, I happened to miss that
Dog Lover Symphony?
No, I don't even know how
Cry
I missed that
Cry of
one.
The Winged Serpent?
No, not that.
Casualty?
Nothing. He's been in nothing.
That's a movie about his career.
He's been in nothing. He's been in nothing.
Actually, you know what he's good in? Did you see Empire Records?
No.
That's a great movie.
Is that the one with Liv Tyler?
Yes, and very young Renee Zellweger.
Were her eyes open back then?
Yes, they were.
Really?
Yes, they were.
They were actually open at one point?
They were open then.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he hasn't really done anything. What do you think of him as like an action star?
No. But I was trying to think of this other action star's name, and I couldn't think of it. But the guy kind of reminded me visually of Maxwell Caulfield, and then just kind of went from there.
What did you take before we started doing this podcast?
Water.
There's something in that water.
There's nothing in the water, trust me.
All right. That's all I have.
It would be great if it was in this water. Padma Lakshmi.
Okay, that's it. We're done.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about everything else. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about everything else in the old mashup.
The moosh-moosh.
Google and Verizon have been under the microscope lately thanks to an article in the New York Times that said they were engaging in an agreement related to net neutrality issues. For those of you who don't know, Google is staunchly in favor of net neutrality, which means that the internet should be open so that if you're connected through, whether you're connected through Comcast or Verizon or, you know, UVerse or whatever, DSL, blah, 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 whatever, however you're connected to the internet, once you're connected, your ISP should not be able to block you from going to certain sites, and they should not be able to slow down, let's say, iTunes if they have a deal with Amazon Music. So, you know, once you get online, whatever kind of bandwidth you paid for, that's what you should get regardless of what you're doing when you're online.
Right.
That's what net neutrality is all about. Well, of course, the telephone companies want net neutrality to go away because they want to be able to get lots of money from people for saying, yeah, we're going to provide your content faster than we provide someone else's content, or faster than we provide anyone else's content, which would totally suck because it's going to mean
totally suck.
Not only are we at then the disposal of whoever paid the most to have their stuff delivered fastest, but it also means that creativity and innovation go down the toilet because if you don't have deep pockets and can afford to pay for stuff, I mean, things like Google and Twitter and Facebook never would have gotten off the ground in the first place.
Right.
So it's a big deal, and everyone was really nervous about this. It turned out that the New York Times didn't really understand what Google and Verizon were talking about. And now that they've revealed what they were talking about, it's less problematic, but still potentially problematic. They both still said that they think that anything that you connect to through a wired connection should stay completely open. But then they were saying, and by the way, they didn't have any kind of agreement between the two companies. What they were working on is a proposal to the FCC on how to deal with the whole issue. And one of the things that they were saying is that wireless carriers should be able to enforce some kind of, you know, either throttling or enhancement to some services that are paid for. Now, Google still said within the scope of that proposal that they have zero plans at all to do any such thing with any of their content, whether it's Google or YouTube or whatever. They have no plans to ever do anything like that. But they said that they can see why some wireless providers would be able, you know, would have a valid excuse for wanting to do that. The problem that I have with that is that everything's moving wireless. So pretty soon that's going to mean everything anyway.
Right.
I mean, I don't really like using wireless if I don't have to. And it's still a lot slower than using a regular network connection.
Sure.
But at least it was not the sort of doomsday scenario that a lot of people were afraid it was going to be. Clear, speaking of wireless, has released their iSpot mobile 4G Wi-Fi hotspot for the iPad, iPhone, and iPod Touch, of which you have one.
I do.
On day one, it was only $30 and $25 a month with no contract. The normal price of it is $100.
Well, $29.99, but yes.
Basically what I just said. 30
but
and 100.
Not what you just said.
Right. Anyway, It lets you connect via 4G and then set up a Wi-Fi hotspot for your Apple devices.
But only your Apple
iPad,
mobile devices.
iPhone.
So iPad, iPhone, iPod Touch.
Right.
And I have to say, I have had, it works great.
Yeah, except I've in this office.
Except in this office, but right. I blame you for that.
Yeah, I think Clear service so far has been pretty good. Everywhere I've tried it other than here, where I don't need it anyway, has been great.
What I like about it is you can download the app that accompanies it. So like when you have it on, you can immediately go on and you can hide your network. You can change the password. You can see how many people are logged on. Because you can have up to 8 people logged on.
And you can set it up with no password so that any random passersby can get on? I was going to say.
No.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Well, I don't know. Some people are very generous that way.
Who?
Panera.
But the no contract thing is great.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're able to take advantage of it. And what was great about it, I ordered it on the first day. I had it the following day.
Yeah. They're really good. And I don't know about that thing, but when I got my Clear kit for my, 4G modem for the computer.
Uh-huh.
For the laptop, it came in a really nice little package, and the setup instructions were really well done, and everything just kind of worked the way you expect it to work, other than not being able to get connected at all in this office. But other than that, it was great. I like them so far. So far, so good. Audi has launched a petition on Facebook, no less, for people who want them to bring the TTRS to the United States. The TTRS would be the fastest and sportiest of all TT variants to date, and is not currently slated to come here. So if you think you might want to buy one, go to Facebook, look up Audi TTRS, and sign the petition.
How do I vote against it?
You cannot do that.
But you know what? I'm going to actually start a new petition voting against it.
Why would you do that?
Because
why?
I'd like to see people's dreams crushed.
Exactly. That is an evil plan, and it will get no traction. Bing Maps now has a taxi fare calculator available in a few dozen cities. That's kind of cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
And they
they beat Google to the punch.
How does it account for traffic? Because that's usually how your taxi fare varies.
Well, but if they know the traffic because they have traffic on their maps and they know what the city's rates are, then they can figure that out.
Very interesting.
Pretty neat, huh? Motorola will release the Droid 2 this fall, complete with an R2-D2 version available only online from Verizon that will feature Star Wars content and external hardware, whatever that means, that'll make it look more like R2-D2. I cannot imagine for the life of me what that means. Because it's not like they're going to make it round. Here's your garbage can phone.
It's probably just a little dock that you set it in, and it's shaped as R2-D2.
Maybe it comes with a tray that you can serve drinks on. Or a little thing that lets you zap people. That would actually be pretty cool. But I don't really understand. Probably just the back will probably look like the panels that are on R2-D2.
Right.
Blue and silver with a little shenanigans. Maybe there's like an extra little thing around the camera lens that looks like his projector.
Right.
You know what I mean? Maybe it comes with Princess Leia in a bikini, you know what I mean?
No.
No.
It does not.
It does not do that, no. Mark Papermaster, who was the executive at Apple in charge of overseeing the iPhone's development, has left the company thanks to the iPhone 4 antenna problem that, according to Apple, isn't actually a problem. What's even more funny about that is they say that he left of his own accord, but it's commonly understood that he was fired.
No one has seen him since.
No one has seen him since? Yeah, no. I don't know if that's true. But, that doesn't really help Apple's whole position that there's nothing really wrong with the iPhone when they fire the guy responsible for it. And there's also a rumor out there that Apple has known about that antenna issue for at least 2 years. That's just terrible. And another technology company executive firing news, Hewlett-Packard CEO Mark Hurd was let go with a generous severance package after sexual harassment allegations arose regarding a contractor. They settled out of court, so there will not be a lawsuit, but he no longer works there. I feel really bad for him since his severance was somewhere between $40 and $50 million.
Really?
Yeah.
So it pays to sexually harass.
That's what this lesson shows us, yeah. The head of Oracle said that this was the worst decision that the board of Hewlett-Packard has ever made. They said this decision was as bad for Hewlett-Packard as Apple's decision to fire Steve Jobs all those years ago was for them.
Wow.
They said this is going to come back to bite them in the you-know-what.
In the keister.
And then he was accused of sexual harassment for using that word.
So, keister.
There you go.
$40 million for saying keister.
An Asus phone running Windows Phone 7 has been spotted in the wild, so it looks like those phones are not too far off on the horizon. Sharp is planning on launching a glasses-free 3D smartphone sometime before the end of this year.
Stupid.
Unless it's cool.
No. No? 3D will die.
3D, really?
Yep.
Even in the real world?
Mark my words.
So we're all going to start seeing in 2D, running into shit?
The whole world would be like Paper Mario.
Yeah, exactly. The very cool Lancia Stratos, or do you prefer Lancia Stratos, prototype that was making the internet rounds and pictures was actually a one-off for a private collector and was designed by Pininfarina. The original Stratos was designed by Bertone.
What is this?
It's a car, you doof. Or do you prefer to say Bertone? Samsung's new FX2490 HD monitor doubles as a 1080p TV. And the thing that's kind of strange about that is it's $540, which is about $100 more than the old 26-inch version that you could get a couple years ago, which I actually had one of and just got rid of recently.
So how big is this one?
24.
Oh.
Inches.
Yeah, you don't have that anywhere in there other than in the serial number.
Sorry. It's 24
inches.
Or model
number.
24 inches. Microsoft will release an Arc Touch mouse next month for about $70, which will probably be more of a trackpad than a mouse, or maybe not. Might be one of those combination trackpad mousey dealies with multi-touch, multi-gestures, yeah, and multi-stuff.
Like the Apple Magic Mouse.
Right.
Which actually is kind of annoying to use.
Is it?
Yeah.
I've not tried one, so I do not know. Gmail now allows you to open multiple accounts through multiple logins in the same browser. That is a good thing. What I'd really like is for you to be able to do that in something like Twitter. Be great to be able to open multiple, or even Facebook, to have multiple accounts open with the same in the same browser.
Right.
Because if you have multiple accounts, they're kind of a hassle to deal with. And there are all these like Twitter desktop apps that you can get that are dedicated Twitter apps, but they all kind of stink. I've tried a bunch of them, and I don't like any of them.
There's too many of them.
There are a lot of them, and there's even more like on the iPhone.
On the phone, I know.
Yeah, but I don't like any of them. I want something that I can lock to the side of the screen and always have over whatever else is there. Like, it'd be great if it could lock to the side of the screen and then the rest of Windows saw that as the edge of the screen so nothing ever tries to go past it.
They don't have a widget or anything? Twitter widget?
No, what I'm saying is there's
a widget.
You just wanted to say that, didn't you?
No,
no, I'm saying there are a bunch of these things, but none of them work very well. You should copyright that. Get on that. It only takes about a year. If you're one of those people who's always wanted a dedicated gaming chair, check out the Xtreme Gyroxys. I spelled it wrong, but it's Gyroxys. Available exclusively at Boys Stuff UK starting later this month. For about $650, you get something that looks like it was designed by Emperor Palpatine and that gyrates around based on the on-screen action so that you can be more immersed in your console gameplay.
That's not that expensive.
No, if it works and doesn't break after 10 minutes. Portland, Oregon is home to the first electric vehicle quick charge station in the United States. Apparently, there are a lot of people in Portland with electric vehicles, or at least one. And Sony's Xperia X10 is finally going to be released and hopefully will be less sucky than the original Xperia. Remember that? Remember when they kept showing that Xperia X1 and it looked like the coolest phone ever and it was almost $1,000 and it was terrible? So hopefully this one will be better than that because that was terrible. It'll definitely be less sucky priced. At just $150 through AT&T. Oh, AT&T. Oh, that's going to suck.
Sucky.
Yeah. And finally, a guy dressed as Darth Vader robbed a bank at gunpoint on Long Island. Who would do that?
Darth Vader.
Oh, that's right.
He used the gun? Why didn't he just use the death grip?
Yeah, why didn't he just use the force?
God!
I mean, he's missing all the obvious tricks here.
How stupid.
I have traced the dollar bills to this bank. I would advise you to place them in the bag, the one with the dollar signs on it. And I would like to open a checking account. No, not at this bank. Never mind.
Did you happen to see it was on the news this morning? Probably not, but we'll look for it. There is a video of a woman who went to the McDonald's drive-thru and tried to order McNuggets, but it was still breakfast time.
Yeah.
And so they told her she couldn't, and she goes nuts and tries to beat up the girl through the window.
Just like in that movie Falling Down with Michael Douglas.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, my God. We'll look for that after we get off there.
Really?
But people, look for this. Google this.
Wow.
It's frightening how crazy this woman
goes. Where did this happen?
Goes.
Like what state?
In Ohio.
Oh, sure, Ohio.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that explains it.
Sorry.
Is there anything notable about Ohio?
Skyline chili. I love the skyline chili.
It's good, but it's like...
I love it.
You could replicate that here yourself.
But I don't.
Right. But you could. That doesn't count. he said Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Skyline chili is good.
Drew Carey.
Well, he's not anchored there, is he?
But he's from there.
So?
That's the only person I can think of from Ohio.
I love, we're going to go back to the big picture here. I love when the producer asks Nick where he's from. He's like, so you're from California? He's like, no, actually, I was born in Ohio. Oh, really? My first wife's from Illinois. As if the whole Midwest is just one big state. Ay, ay, ay. All right. And that, as always, brings us to the point in the show when we, Tony and I, reveal our votes for the best and worst entertainment moments of the week. Tony, please give us your worst.
I have to give my worst as the middle of the other guys where it just turned for me. I mean, because I was having so much fun and then my fun was just cut short.
Really?
But in the middle of the movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was actually 2/3 of the way through.
Okay.
So. Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
But still, if your worst involves something that was really funny, that's not too bad. My worst is that I tried to play yet another game this week, or in preparation of this show, which was NCSoft's Lineage 2.
Uh-huh.
And, okay, NCSoft, again, company that makes Ion, which I did not have a wonderful experience with.
Uh-huh.
But they're also the parent company of ArenaNet, who makes Guild Wars, which is the best MMO I've ever played. So I figured, well, it was worth a shot. You know, it might be pretty good. It's very popular. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I install a thing. I go to play. Cannot get the game to run under any circumstances. Like, I start it, and the splash screen comes up, and then it crashes. And the crash notes say, you know, could not do something, basically. And so I copied it to tech support over at NCSoft. And let me say this. NCSoft's tech support, really good. I mean, in terms of their willingness and eagerness to help, I have to give them top marks because they were very, very attentive to the problem. But they couldn't think of anything for me to try to actually get the game to run. I mean, I couldn't even launch the game,
basically.
Was it
like a video issue or?
Don't know.
You don't even know.
Don't even know. They told me to uninstall my drivers and reinstall them, which I did, which I didn't think was the problem because, you know, I don't have trouble with anything else that I've run on there. And I mean, they suggested all this stuff. And then finally they're like, well, you know, if you turn off user account control, which is the security thing in Windows, turn off your antivirus. If you uninstall this, uninstall that, make sure there's no programs running at Windows startup and then try again and see what happens. I'm like, you know what? It's not worth it.
No,
I'm not going to do all that stuff to my system just to play your game. That's probably going to suck anyway. You know, and I told them, I'm like, you guys got to get your act together. It's like your tech support is really good. Your customer service is really good. And ArenaNet makes the best MMO that's out there. But you guys got to get your act together. You can't just port a game from Korea over to here and just like let it loose in the wild. You got to make sure it works.
Right.
And that people.
Did they say that they'd had other people with the same problem?
They didn't really talk about that. I mean, they didn't say...
We're not at liberty to say.
No. They didn't say, well, I've never heard of anything like this before, but they didn't say, yeah, this is a common problem. They were just trying to think of different things to fix it. But, I mean, how pathetic is it that I couldn't even get the game to run?
Right.
It's just crazy. So that was absolutely my worst entertainment moment of the week.
That's bad.
It was bad.
Yeah.
I tell you. It was right up there. The other bad stuff. All right, what about your best?
The first 45 minutes of The Other Guys.
Yeah, the Other Guys was definitely my best entertainment moment. It was just so much fun.
It was fun.
It was so much fun. And there really was some great dialogue in that movie. And, of course, there's a moment in the film, fairly early on in the film, that I was not expecting that I'm sure you could...
With the other two characters.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was just hilarious. Just hilarious. Oh my gosh, there was so much funny stuff in there. We'll have to talk more about it offline. But yeah, I got to totally agree that movie, you know, the parts of it that were really funny were really, really funny.
Right. You know, here's my thing with that director, Adam McKay. You know, he's the same guy who did like Talladega Nights and Anchorman. I think he's really good at coming up, like using his actors to come up with great bits and putting really funny stuff in. But I think when it comes to story, just for me, all three of those movies fall short in the story department.
Now, did he write them or just direct them or both?
I believe he wrote them all.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But even as a director, okay, even if he didn't write them, even as a director, I mean, they're just the story, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing that's interesting about that is you said that you didn't think the stakes were high enough and that sort of thing. And, you know, in that kind of a movie, the stakes don't really need to be that high if the rest of the story...
Oh, they didn't need to be that high if it stayed...
Right.
A true comedy through the whole movie.
But not even a true comedy. If you think about, like, Beverly Hills Cop 2, for instance, which, you know, Beverly Hills Cop was different because the story was so personal to Axel's character.
Right.
In the second one, though, which I still think was a really good movie, the stakes were not really that high. Still worked because the bad guy and his minions and stuff like that were bad enough as just like, you know, bad people that it didn't really matter that the actual stakes weren't that high, I thought.
Right.
Like that was still successful.
That's not my main complaint, though, about the stakes. I mean, that's just something I mentioned. My complaint is the consistency. It started out as like kind of a slapstick comedy.
Yeah, right.
And then it, for a little while, tried to turn into this kind of like,
serious
buddy
comedy.
Beverly Hills Cop is a comedy, but it's an action comedy.
It's an action comedy, right.
Where this, for the first 45 minutes, it's just a comedy.
It's just a comedy, right.
But then they try to go that action route and then, you know.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to dispute that, because you're definitely right about that. There was definitely a mixed message as far as what kind of movie it was.
Right.
I just didn't mind it as much. Right. I will say I saw the movie with my wife, my older sister, my mom, and my wife's mom. And I will say that the part with his wife's, Sheila's mom, would rather not have watched that with all of them there. When she was going back and forth outside.
Oh,
the grandma.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm just saying. So what are you looking up to see if he wrote them or directed them?
He wrote Step Brothers. Do I need to say anything else?
No, I never saw that. I heard that movie was really funny, though.
You know, actually, I've heard that, too. Steve Dahl says that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wrote The Other Guys. He wrote...
Okay, so he wrote and directed them.
He's written a lot of TV stuff.
Yeah.
He wrote a 2007 short, Good Cop, Baby Cop.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, he wrote Anchorman, Talladega Nights.
Yeah. Okay. But anyway, yeah, very funny, though. Very funny movie. So if you like to laugh, if you're not a stick in the mud, if you have a personality, go see it. It's my advice. And that concludes this episode of the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast. Again, brought to you by Scriptees, a new screenwriting book by Kevin Stein. Check it out on Facebook. Do a little searchy search for it. I'm sure you will not be disappointed. And don't forget to visit us on Facebook, become a fan, and write some cool stuff to us on our wall there. And go to iTunes, where you can subscribe and leave us a review and a rating. And as always, we will see you next week.
Bye.